Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, head basketball coach, University of Oregon women's coach, Kelly Graves, outstanding coach, even better human being, joining us now. How are you?
John, I'm doing great. Just getting ready to go into practice here in a little bit, our first practice since selection. So anticipate a pretty excited and energetic crew today.
Your Ducks are a 6 seed. For people who don't know, they're going to face number 11, South Dakota, on Monday, first round in San Antonio. So you go into a practice today. Do you start focusing on opponent? Do you focus on yourselves? What do you do?
Well, both. Watching our opponent, knowing our opponent from the last couple of seasons of watching them, they're very, very skilled and very well-schooled in what they do. So, we're going to kind of work on some basics, just fundamentals of defense, because they'll pick you apart if you're not sound defensively. So, yeah, a little of both. We're not really eyeing, we won't tell them that we're doing that for this team, but just doing it because we need a refresher course, so to speak.
They've got a big senior guard, I think goes about 6'3", really good player, blocks some shots, good defensive player, good rebounder. Is there danger in focusing too much on a good player, or is that a primary objective? We got to stop their strength.
Well, I think you always need to take away their strengths best you can. I think we're actually a pretty good matchup. She, in that Summit League, she's probably not used to playing centers that are 6'5 and 6'7 like we can throw at them. So, that'll be unique for them. But, they play an old school basketball. And don't take this the wrong way. I don't want anybody to at me. They play like, have you ever gone to a rec league and watched really good old dudes play basketball?
Yeah, they're putting on a knee brace and some goggles, and then you kind of snicker, and then they start bounce passing you to death.
Oh, my gosh. And back cutting and posting up and drilling threes from deep. They have that feel to them. They're a lot of fun to watch because they play, it's not all pick and roll basketball like you see a lot now. And they just play really well. They're fun to watch. Last year, and I look at it last year because I still got a lot more games to watch from this year. But last year, we led the nation in offensive efficiency, male, female, NBA, everything. Number two was South Dakota. And they return a lot of those players from that team. So, it's going to be a tough first opponent, but at this point they're all tough, John. You know that.
Yeah, you get into that bracket, and the tournament is always wild. But now it's a little bit different in this COVID world. How different will the tournament feel with you being in San Antonio and not having the bracket spread around the country like it normally is?
Well, for the first time in a while, we won't be hosting the first couple of rounds, I think that will make the women's tournament more interesting because, the top 16 seeds overall have always hosted the first two rounds. And so that's why you see very few upsets. That's just not going to be the case this year. So that will be unique. I think they are going to allow some fans in Texas. I'm not sure how many, but I've been given a ticket list that I can use. So, that's something, I guess. But ultimately when the ball gets tossed up, it's the same.
I think in prior years, you had a lot of winning DNA, right? You had players that won a lot of games in college. Now you've got a relatively young team. Can they lean on some of the more veteran players that have been in a Final Four, or been around, Sabrina in the group, or is that something they got to figure out on their own?
You want to hear a crazy stat?
Yeah.
So, okay. We have 9 new players, okay? So, and 7 of those are what we would consider freshmen. So, this is a first experience for them. Of those players that we've had back, Taylor Mikesell is a junior, so she played in one NCAA tournament at Maryland, just one, because last year was out. Jazz Shelley is a sophomore for us and a returner, but she didn't get to play in the NCAA. Kayla Chavez is a junior for us, missed the final 4 years, the last 2 months of the season because of injury. So and then last year we missed it, of course, so she hasn't played in an NCAA tournament. We have three total players, Aaron Boley and Lydia Giomi, have played in a few NCAA tournaments, and then Mikesell won. So, you know, this is an inexperienced crew. Plus, you know, I haven't looked at every single team, but it would be a shock if we weren't the youngest team in the field as well. So, yeah, this is going to be a new experience, and we don't have a ton of experience to rely on from those past successes. Because let's face it, it's been a while that, you know, we haven't advanced in this tournament.
Kelly Graves is with us, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Look, it's been a long year for, I think, everybody, but I also have a lot of empathy for you guys as a program because you've had the daily testing that will continue. I think it's tough for a team to gel and come together when you can't do all that hanging out that happens away from basketball. You know, you can't go play Top Golf and hang out. How challenging has that been for a young team to not have that time together?
From all the coaches that I've talked to throughout the year, they said this is actually the worst year to have been young because you just can't do those things you would normally do that help build chemistry and camaraderie and trust in each other. We just haven't had a lot of those experiences. So, yeah, it's been difficult. And I applaud A, the NCAA, B, all the coaches and administrators and medical staffs and every program in the country for being able to pull this off. I mean, we're a week now from the NCAA tournament, less than a week for the two NCAA tournaments starting. And if you would have asked me 4 or 5 months ago if that was possible, I would have given you maybe 50-50 odds, maybe, probably less. And so I applaud these kids, man. It's been a tough deal. Even on those days, you know how every college kid is. They get their first class at 11 in the morning, you know, so that they can sleep in, right?
Right.
Well, we get tested every day at 8 o'clock. So there's no sleeping in for them. So you might as well get an 8 a.m. class, you know, because you're going to be up then, you know, going and getting your test anyway. So it's been difficult, but dang, we're close to the end here, John. Let's see if we can pull this sucker off, huh?
Kelly, yeah, you know, it's been fun to watch your teams and fun to watch you kind of put the season together. Do you feel like you're playing your best basketball now at the midseason, early season? And is there a way to channel that, you know, knowing that you've got 6 days to get ready here?
No, we're definitely not playing our best basketball. That's just, you know, that's a given. You're going to look at our record. But, you know, that's the great thing about the tournament. You know, you don't know. Everybody's 0-0. And, one good performance from one or two individuals is enough to kind of get us going. And then you get a win, and who knows, that leads to two. You know, people forget 4 years ago with Sabrina, we were 8-10 in conference, and we were kind of limping home as well. We get a 10 seed, and we're struggling basically all game long against a 10 seed, and Ruthie Hebert hits a game-winning basket to put us up by one with 4 seconds to go. You know, if she doesn't make that shot, we don't win the next game against Duke. We don't win the next game go to the Elite Eight against Maryland, and then who knows what the trajectory of that young team would have been. Sometimes it's just one or two little things that that need to happen to kind of jumpstart you, give you a jolt or whatever, and I think we're capable of it because we can be dangerous. You know, we're so big, we do have shooters. You know, obviously we lack some depth now without Tegan Apalpal, but we still have enough, and so I'm really confident, and I think our kids believe, and what the heck, man? What do you have to lose? Let's go get it.
Yeah, it's house money at this point. You're a sixth seed in this tournament. You are, a coach who's been to a Final Four. What's success to you with a young team? Because, you know, maybe if it were last year, you say success is winning the whole damn thing, but what's success this year? What do you need to get out of it?
Well, I'm just glad that, A, we're in it, and, B, let's face it, you know, a lot of people think it's been a tough year for us. We're a sixth seed. That puts us in the top 21, 24 in the country. There's 325 schools that would love to be where we're at. I just think it's going to be a a great experience for our young kids, because I do believe we have championship pedigree in us. This year, you don't know, but, you know, in us, I think we have that kind of ability and that kind of talent. So, you know, I think just getting a taste of the tournament and hopefully a few wins to get us to believe and to go through this experience, I think will help us down the road. So to me, that's success. But I don't listen to people outside of myself and my staff and my team, and my wife, of course. And, you know, I think we have had a successful season so far.
Right.
You know, sure, the wins aren't the same as they've been the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, but we've overcome a lot. This team has never been healthy, like we already talked about, the youth, and dang it, we're dancing.
Kelly, you got an opportunity to watch, you know, the NBA bubble last season, and then the men's tournament will start in front of your games. Can you learn anything from watching that, or is it just sort of getting sort of the spirit of the tournament and getting your players to kind of get tuned into the urgency that the tournament brings?
Well, that's what we hopefully have learned. We've experienced this bubble. They've been living in a, you know, semi-bubble the whole year. You know, Vegas was a bubble, even though that was a short trip for us. Vegas was a bubble. You know, they're basically coming here to the gym and going back to their apartments. They're not, you know, mingling with other students for the most part. So I agree with you. I listened to your segment right before. That team that can find the you know, whatever it takes from within to really focus, I think has a chance to, regardless of seed, to move on. It takes a different mindset. I watched my son's team. They've got it. They've had this thing down. They nailed the COVID deal, Gonzaga. And, you know, hopefully our tournament continues for a long time. But I'm also poised to spend some time in Indianapolis, you know, watching my Zags as well.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, what is it about?
This is a fun spring, man.
Yeah.
It's great having a kid, you know, a son also playing. That makes it a lot of fun.
Give me an idea on that. Can you be a fan, or are you always a coach when you're watching the games?
No, I'm a fan because Mark Few's a buddy of mine, so I'm not going to question him, you know, or anything like that. And you know, you always have that hat on. But when I'm watching those guys, I'm a fan because they're easy to be a fan of. I don't know if you've spent much time watching them. That's as good a basketball as is being played anywhere, including the NBA. I think a lot of NBA teams could learn from what the Zags do. They're a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, and I think it feels like it's their year. Do you fill out a bracket? Are you one of those guys that kind of does it as a fun thing?
You know what's funny? I don't, John. I don't. I never really have. And I would crush it if I did because, you know, come on. I'm the smartest basketball guy in our family. So, you know, I would crush those youngins. I just have never really done it. I don't know why. How about you? I will tell you this. This is a true story. 1985, I was still playing college basketball. You remember when we used to have the 100 square grids and you would pay a dollar and buy a square?
Yeah.
You remember doing that thing?
Yeah.
I remember doing that. I paid $4. I drew four teams out. We drew on a Friday morning. So the tournament started Thursday night. Three of my teams were eliminated Thursday night that I'd drawn. And for a college kid, $64.
Yeah.
$64 is a lot of money, right? You know who the fourth team I drew was?
What?
Villanova. Oh, and they were like an 8 seed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, great. So three of my schools are out, and I get Villanova. And doggone it, I won $64, buddy.
Man, I hope you spent it well.
In college, that's like four pizzas.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so you got a first round game. Do you peek ahead on the bracket? Because as a coach, you have to start scouting a little bit. Not that you start giving your team the focus because you want them to win the game Monday, but do you start looking at, okay, we win this one, we need to be ready to scout? Like, how far ahead do you get?
I've always done the two games. So, yeah, we will be dialed in on either the 3 or the 14 as well. So we'll have that good to go. We might even work on a few of those concepts early, not telling them that's why we're doing it. But let's say they run a lot of ball screen motion or whatever. You know, we'll work on pick and roll defense, you know, just as a refresher early on. But no, I think if you peek too far ahead, that's when you get in trouble. It's, you know, I don't know if it's Coach K or Coach View. I don't know who said it first, but it's a two-game tournament. So we want to go win the first two games, and then you've got a weekend to prepare for that next two-game tournament. So, like I said, we've been, you know, pretty successful in these deals. Two Elite Eights and then a Final Four, and then last year, who knows? So, you know, I think we know how to navigate this. Now we just got to go do it. Shut up and go do it, right?
Yeah, there are some sports like the NBA that the playoffs feel too long, or maybe this early series are seven games and they shouldn't be, but March Madness gets it. What is it for you that makes this tournament special?
I think the one and done. Well, first of all, especially for the new kids, now this year's going to be different, but the pomp and circumstance that you get to go through, that's pretty cool. What a great experience for the young people. But for me, it's just the one and done nature. You know, at any moment, your season could be over. And that gives you a sense of urgency. So I think you see the best in the teams that are playing because everybody plays with that sense of urgency. There is no go through the motions. Oh, okay, the Lakers lost game one to Miami. Okay, big deal. They got to beat us four times. So, you know, you may not get that best every single night. You're doing the NCAA or else you're gone.
The fact that you won't have full arenas, looks like they're going to have some fans, looks like 25% probably. Does that give an advantage or a disadvantage, or are you guys used to playing in buildings like that? So, you know, this will just be, you know, it'll feel like there are more people than normal.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We do play in a lot of empty arenas, even during the regular season. That's why I feel we really missed our fans this year, John.
Yeah.
We're one of the few programs that actually have a home court advantage. You tell me we lose a one-possession game to either Stanford or UCLA in a packed Matthew Knight Arena like we did. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, to some degree, you're going to be kind of used to that atmosphere. It'll still be a little surreal, but, you know, these kids have adjusted all year. I anticipate they're going to continue, not just my team, but all the teams.
Coach, we wish you the best. We'll check in with you, I think, in the next week or two. Hope to talk to you after the first round. But, you know, a lot of people, I think, here rooting for your program and rooting for the Pac-12 to do the Pac-12 women's basketball scene proud.
Well, I appreciate it, John. I always love being on your show. It's the highlight of my week. And, you know, I think we should all be, as Oregonians, how proud should we be? We have both Oregon State and Oregon men's and women's basketball teams in the field of 64. Yeah. And that's pretty cool. I don't know the last time that's happened, if ever. You know,
yeah,
it might be something for your crack staff to look up.
I got to run it down. I want to say we'd have to look at Oregon State men's program to figure that out because, you know, they would be the one that got in. They got in a few years ago. I'd have to look back and see if everybody got in that year or not. But I can't remember if you were already on the scene when Oregon State was there. I'm getting old now. See, I'm spending too much time in Vegas.
Yes,
apparently.
You are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. And again, it's great to always hear your wife on there. She steals the show, big guy.
I know.
Seriously.
She tried to come in yesterday at noon, and I said, I waved her off. I said, I'm going to lose my job here if she takes over the whole show.
Well, for a couple of bald guys, you and I both married up. That is for sure.
Amen. Coach, right, good luck buddy. To you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, John.
All right. There's Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Oregon will play in this tournament. They are a sixth seed. They're in. They're young. They have played their best basketball. We'll talk to Scott Ruick, the Oregon State women's coach, later this week as well. But a big opportunity for Oregon and Kelly Graves. I think, and we talk about success being different things. Like, if this is a Sabrina Ionescu-led team from a year ago, it was getting to New Orleans and the Final Four and winning the whole damn thing. That was the goal. Like, unfortunately, that tournament got cut short. But for this young team and Kelly Graves, I do think getting into the tournament, playing well in the opener, advancing to the second round, I think that becomes sort of like making it because you need those building blocks. You need to be able to put your team in position to succeed. You need them to get some games and some minutes in an NCAA tournament setting that will benefit them 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when they are advancing deeper in this tournament. They're very talented. I like what Kelly Graves has done. They're young, though, and They played, I thought, their better basketball about a third of the way into the season, as disjointed as this season was, and they just haven't been the same in the last few weeks. But let's see what they do in this tournament with the urgency. You got the BFT. I want you to leave it right here. I don't know if your friends are doing this, but a lot of my friends are rummaging through their baseball, football, and basketball cards. I keep getting text messages from friends who are saying, hey, you think I should get my cards graded? I got one friend who's got like a Willie Mays baseball card, and I was like, hell yeah, get it graded. Have you not been on eBay to see what these baseball and football cards are selling for? I think the regret that I have, because as a kid, I used to get on my bicycle and I used to ride it down to the baseball card shop every day. And I'd buy a pack of baseball cards. This is probably mid-80s. And I would, or maybe even earlier, 1982, 1983, right in that sweet spot. I'd buy a pack of baseball cards and I'd open it up and then I'd ride my bicycle back home. It was a long drive for me on my bike. It probably was a few miles. But I would do that every day in the summer. And what I realize now is, like, those cards are all okay. But the cards from the late 80s and early 90s were all garbage. They were mass-produced. The card companies made too much of it, so there was no scarcity, and they're not really worth anything. So what I should have been doing is just buying old cards, pulling together my money. Like, in hindsight, I now know the true scarcity was cards from, like, the 1950s, 1960s. I don't know. Today, like, I got a bunch of friends who are like buying Justin Herbert rookie cards and buying, all the other cards that are out there of the young, talented players. Brings us to our big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exogen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, LeBron James, NBA superstar, has now become part owner of the Boston Red Sox. He's become a partner in the Fenway Sports Group. That makes him part owner of the Red Sox. LeBron and his childhood friend, Maverick Carter, his business partner, are now partners in Fenway Sports Group. They have an undisclosed amount of ownership. Lakers star, four-time NBA MVP.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.